Yeah, well, at least until you decide on different assignments, right?
Testing.
Hey, Terry.
You should think of it more like you're stuck with us.
We're the only meetings that semi-rival yours for duration and the rest of it.
Well, you know, I found out you had food, so I just...
Yeah, Mohammed and I were there.
Agenda. It's just easier.
Really like where your mind is. You are on a roll tonight.
There,
I really like where your mind is going on this.
You probably noticed too from study sessions in here. There's a couple of them, they don't move the way that they're supposed to when you go to adjust them. And one of them, if you touch the handle, you will go from here to hitting rock bottom in about half a second.
Yeah.
You might actually be on that.
Are we ready?
Yeah.
All right. Call this meeting. Red?
Yeah, I'll move it off.
All right. Call this meeting to order at 6:57. Go through the roll call here. Commissioner Carlson?
Here.
Commissioner Lang?
Here.
And Commissioner Morsa?
Here.
And Mayor Chaminet?
Here.
All right, I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
Need a motion.
So moved.
All right, I need a second.
Second.
All right, is there any discussion before we're asked for the question? We do have a compressed agenda, so if anyone would like to speak about that. What time do you have to? Yeah.
I can tempt fate and go all the way to 7:50. That is 5:0. I think I can get home in 10 minutes.
Okay.
That's not a safe bet in this weather and traffic for whatever reason.
Yeah, so we'll need to modify the agenda if anyone has some recommendations. So, because once you leave around 7:50, then we have to adjourn. So
okay.
We have an hour.
This will be an efficient meeting. Mayor Chalmanak will actually think we're good.
Mayor Stokes had it all wrong. These guys have their act together.
That's right. It's crazy. 25 minutes. Boom.
Could we at least start the comprehensive plan amendment process and see how far along we get?
Okay. And we'll save the guiding principles
for
the next one.
And probably most likely the review of minutes as well. For the next
one.
Hey,
and if I could, Chair,
so is that
there is one small thing that's important that I need to bring up under staff report, so we could do that.
Okay, sounds good. So we have an amendment to the agenda. So, who wants to make the amendment? Okay.
So, Commissioner Morso has proposed, I guess, two changes to the agenda, and before we would change anything else, like for example the communications, it looks like I would just be curious to ask somebody. So did anybody sign up for communications?
Sure, I did. Just one moment. No one signed up, and no one in the audience has indicated a desire to speak.
Okay. So I move to amend the January 24th, 2018 agenda to move item 8B in our study session, which is the Planning Commission Guiding Principles Part 2, to the agenda for the next regularly scheduled meeting of the Planning Commission, and to move item 10A, which is the approval of the minutes from January 10th, 2018 meeting, also to the agenda for the next regularly scheduled meeting.
Okay. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. All right. Reports from City Council.
Well, just I'm thrilled to be here. I have not had a city commission for several years, so it's nice to have that. Talk to Councilmember Stokes this evening. He said to send his best regards. He enjoyed the time working with you, and I look forward to working with you. My background before I was on council was I was on the Planning Commission, so hopefully I bring a little bit of both perspectives, although I have to remember back a long way. So, given the time constraints, I'll just leave it at that. But I'm really happy to be here.
Thank you. Welcome as our new liaison, and we look forward to working with you as well. All right. Staff reports.
Just one brief item. Election of officers. With the vacation of our chair, we have an acting chair, Commissioner Barksdale. But we need to do elections. Bylaws require that you do it as expeditiously as possible. I'm scheduling it for the next meeting, which is Wednesday, February the 14th. The rationale behind that, as opposed to doing it tonight, is that, if I remember correctly, Commissioner Carlson, you're not going to be able to be at the next meeting. However, if you would like to be part of the voting remotely, we can do that, but it has to be approved by the Planning Commission ahead of time. That's why I wanted to have that option available. But that's when we're going to schedule the elections, is for February the 14th. And that's the report I'd like to share.
I will not be present for that meeting either. Sorry.
All right.
I will be on my way to
Mexico. Let me do a quick poll. Who will be here on the 28th of February?
I believe so.
Okay. All right.
If I'm not, I'll remote it.
The February the 28th, and I'm sure we'll have Commissioner Malakuchin back too. All right then, February the 28th. Then it is. We'll make cool. that the for the elections.
Cool.
All right. Thank you.
All right. If we just double checked it, if anybody wanted to make any public comments, just double check. Okay. All right. So we'll move into the study session. Nicholas is going to take us through the comprehensive plan amendment process.
He's always looking for where my show is.
Oh, you have to escape.
There it is. Close it. All right, thank you all for being here tonight and participating in this. What we're doing this year with the conversation that we'd like to begin tonight is we're looking at more a deeper understanding of the conference plan amendment process, because I think Terry's already shared with you that you can expect that a large part of your time this year will be spent on comprehensive plan amendments. We do have four city-initiated plan amendments that are being contemplated, and we expect a handful of other privately initiated ones. The site specifics, we expect those to be coming in. The deadline for the application period for 2018 is January 31st. And they all wait till 3 o'clock on January 31st. So we definitely expect activity. So tonight, what we're going to do is listen to your thoughts and your thinking about how you want to have this unfold, because I think it's going to be important that we figure out how to manage the process so that you're more comfortable with it, the understanding you want and need to have out of it works for you. And because then all of the logistics and the legal stuff and the GMA, all that will be operating in the background. And so what we want to come out with tonight is some more of that concerns, understandings, and questions and things that you're going to have about how the process is going to unfold when we get underway. So there's some background material in the agenda memo, but what I want to do is we set up some questions. I think that I'll come back to this slide when I finish my brief presentation. we've set up some questions based on the structure of the memo, which essentially is, as the foundational planning document of the city, the comprehensive plan has an outsized role in a lot of decision making. But the question tonight is, what do you want it to do and be with your roles? We can spend as little or as much time as you want on how you can use the plan as a tool. We can go to the online version and look at that and see how that is structured right now, how the plan is structured with the major elements and the sub-area chapters, essentially use it more as a tool rather than just something you're supposed to refer to at the end of a staff report. Third question that we want to bring up, again, as little or as much time as you'd like to spend on it, with deference to Commissioner Lang, how the plan amendment process works. I think a lot of people feel black box when we bring up the decision criteria, when we talk about threshold review, so spend some more time. But the question tonight isn't, I don't want to sit here and tell you how it works. I want to find out how you think it should work. And then fourth, and we have a test case for this, when is something a policy and when is it a project? And that idea there is to sort of look at that fundamental issue of what a policy-driven set of decisions is versus what kind of trip generation and how tall is the building going to be in a project thing. We have the Eastgate Office Park as an example to work through a recently successful thing that you all had quite a hand in over the 2 years that it was before you. And then finally end up with these measures of success, and they're also attached to the agenda memo. But as the year unfolds, are we asking the right things that you want us to measure? And we'll be able to produce information and data that we can use at the end of the year to go, oh, yeah, it worked or it didn't work. So we'll come back to that sheet. So amending the comprehensive plan, it is the city's foundational policy document, as I pointed out. We operate in a state that links these foundational principles in the Growth Management Act to how cities implement their long-range plans, how they implement their zoning and their development regulations, and how they implement their spending and capital dollars and other things like that. It guides that growth and development for the next 20 years. We're always asking people to look out 20 years as the window. And oftentimes, one of the first things I certainly do when we're presented with comp plan amendments is, what are we going to see here in 20 years? What do we expect to see? What do we want to see? What are we actually going to see? There, I must have got an extra slide there. So as you all know,
while you're looking that up, can I interject?
Absolutely.
Things? I told you at the last meeting that I'm going to start giving you some of the experience, strength, and hope of my years of working with planning commissions in different parts of the country. And, you know, take it for what it is. It's purely advisory only. You know, here in Washington, the comprehensive plan is the centerpiece of your local planning. And they like to say, it articulates a series of goals, objectives, and policies, actions, and standards that are intended to guide day-to-day the elected officials and local government staff. The Growth Management Act establishes the primacy of the comprehensive plan. I can't understate that or overstate that enough. And this is a term that I want you to keep in the back of your mind as we go throughout the year. The Planning Commission is the enterprise guardian of the comprehensive plan. I want you to think about that term and understand how your role works with that. As an enterprise guardian, you maintain, protect, and further the value and integrity of the comprehensive plan. You are a citizens' lay board, and you establish that review and the citizens' perspective as to what is in that comprehensive plan. A lot of work went into it. It was adopted. It carries a lot of force, a lot of gravity, and you are the group, you are uniquely qualified within the city as the commission to be looking at it. I'm going to give you an example, and this is a fictional example. It's not really me, but it starts out with I. I sit on a board of trustees to a large philanthropic community trust fund that's been set up by a wealthy family. One of my responsibilities as a trustee is much like an enterprise guardian. I ensure that the Community Trust Fund maintains, protects, and furthers the value and integrity of the goals that were set forth by the family that set up that trust. I don't establish the goals or the policies. The family that set up that trust sets up the goals and the policies. But it's my responsibility to carry out that, what those goals and policies are. And so what I do is through my actions, I further the value of that enterprise, which is the trust. And in your case, you further that value of the comprehensive plan. So we are looking to do quite a shift, actually, in the way you do and look at comprehensive plan amendments, because you need to be having a policy conversation of what's already adopted in the plan. You're not setting the policy. That's council. Council sets the policy. But you're debating, is this consistent with the policy? Does this further where we want to go, which is already established in the plan? That's what adds value and integrity to the comprehensive plan and maintains the importance and primacy of that document to the city. So that's one of the concepts I want to put out there. We don't have enough time to have a lot of conversation about that. We can touch base with it at the next meeting. But over the course of the year, I'm going to be sharing some of these observations or things that I've learned along the way that might be helpful in the work that you do. Because a lot of times I think you're unsure as to exactly what do I do with this? How do I look at this? How am I supposed to respond to this, all of this information? So I'm going to try to give you some guiding principles that can help with that. So keep in mind that term, enterprise guardian. Thank you.
So we have the comp plan as a tool, and we have several ways in which you can use that tool. The online version exists in a interactive magazine format called Flipping Book. The sub-area plans are in PDF form. We're working to get those into Flipping Book because a searchable document is really something that needs to happen. And then, of course, there's also the print copies and other things like that. But the way in which we amend that plan, and Terry's laid out a really good framework for considering what the plan is, but it's also something that is subject to amendment. But the caveat there is that it's subject to an amendment that everybody understands is happening. You don't necessarily have to agree with what's going on, but the means by which the Growth Management Act says to engage public participation in this needs to be open and obvious and deliberative. People frequently get shocked when they find out it takes us a year to go through these things, but that's with deliberate intent to make sure that we've exhausted the ability of people to understand that. And because changing the plan, while having an amendment process is necessary, it's not lightly undertaken. So an amendment to the plan is a mechanism by which the city may periodically modify its land use development or growth policies to reinforce the role of the comp plan in guiding growth in our community. And you guys have probably never seen this one before, but here's the flow, here's the critical path, here's the milestones. This is up for illustrative purposes rather than to make you walk through these because you'll go through that. But the whole idea of these sequences of noticing and study and hearings and recommendations and your role and the council's role and the community's role is to reinforce that early and continuous public engagement, which is a hallmark of the state's GMA. So at the end of that, you've made sure that you've exhausted the ability of people to understand how the city amends its foundational policy document.
Nicholas?
Yes, ma'am.
There's a lot of acronyms on there.
Yeah.
What is...
Very quick. I apologize for that. PC, Planning Commission Study Session, a Planning Commission Public Hearing, Planning Commission Threshold Review Public Hearing, Council Study Session, Council Regular Session, SEPA, State Environmental Policy Act, Planning Commission Final Review Public Hearing. I apologize. That is an entire acronym. I missed that one. Okay. Study session, regular session. We'll clarify that when we use this chart again. But
or key.
Yeah, just the legend at the bottom.
Get them out. Yeah. Okay, sure. You bet. So amending the comprehensive plan, I call it a year in the life of a plan amendment, and we'll just, again, quickly touch on it because most of you, I believe, participated in the East Gate Office Park thing. This was an application that came in, a privately site-specific application, came in 2016, worked through threshold review, both with your work and the council's work, and then the delightful thing about all this is they got a little ahead of the East Gate Land Use Transportation Project work, the land use code amendments and the rezoning that was happening. So the process that rather than move this ahead and have people not familiar with it, we'll put it on hold. We'll wait for that other stuff to come up, and then we'll continue the conversation around East Gate Office Park. All right. We'll continue the conversation around East Gate Office Park when we have an understanding against which the folks that own the property want to have it considered. So you'll recall it's that property down off 156th. It's this, older building. The kind of question that you really want to have the comprehensive plan amendment process address. An older 70s and 80s style office buildings, not reaching the end of their shelf life, but definitely reacting to the initial development considerations that occurred east of 156 and west, and of course, obviously, the Eastgate Land Use and Transportation Project itself. So consideration for the plan amendment, is it time? What's the appropriate thing? How should we go about doing this? What are the issues that we need to address? The comprehensive plan amendment process lends itself to exactly this kind of question, but in a very deliberate way. So, and as you'll recall, we also use the tool, the geographic expansion tool. If it's the question being posed, this 20-year look, if that is posed for one site, where else can we do it? Because we're not just thinking in terms of single sites. We're thinking in terms of areas, neighborhoods, context. So you use the geographic expansion tool to decide how far you want to have that question go. And again, I think we've been very effective in using that tool. So we go through decision criteria, and we'll talk about those in a little bit. We go through decision criteria, which I have to tell you frequently feel qualitative in nature, and I think that's appropriate. I think each of you, the staff, members of the community, property owners, they come in and say each of them has that different assessment or a shared or a not shared understanding of what it means to have significantly changed conditions, what it means to be suitably developed, what it means to be consistent with the comprehensive plan. So I think those questions, while sometimes frustrating, are also legitimately qualitative because everyone brings their own understanding and awareness of those to the table. And the delightful thing and sometimes the frustrating thing is you get to mush those all together from us, from yourselves, from an applicant, from members of the community, from other people, other jurisdictions who weigh in. You get to see that and put that all together. But at the end of the day, this is the basis upon which you're making these policy decisions, to be able to say when you take your recommendation to the council, this is what we've thought, this is how we've thought about it, and this is what we're standing behind. Okay, skip that part. We'll just go right through the rest of that. So, metrics for success. I just point real briefly to the last page, so page 3 of your agenda materials. We've set up two categories that we'd like to talk about. One is process and one is content. So as we go through this, and Terry's going to spend more time with you at later dates about how we're going to evolve this, essentially measuring the success of the conference plan amendment process. Not the amendments themselves, but how you've engaged and how you want that process to work for you. We're going to measure that through process, which is obviously, you know, why I get paid, successful procedural steps. Do we cross the T's and dot the I's? Documenting and transmitting that decision-making both to you from members of the community and the applicant, from you to council in terms of your transmittal and your recommendations, and, of course, we also have an obligation to report to the state at two different points. This is what we're doing. This is how we're doing it. And then the state validates that exercise for us. The second category is content. The state is not only looking for us to sort of cross the T's and dot the I's, but they're looking at the depth of the policy conversations that we have. The state certifies our comprehensive plan and says, okay, you got one that meets the things we need it to meet. Are we doing that? We go through that exercise as well. we already talked about decision criteria in terms of content. We are also asking that one of these measures of success be articulating the difference between policy and code when you have parallel plan and code amendments. So this year you're going to see several of these applications coming forward that are asking you to raise these policy questions, and parallel to that, the code amendments that are necessary to create an environment for that plan amendment to succeed. It's not a foregone conclusion, but the two definitely work together. And is that appropriate that we articulate that throughout the process? And then finally, another hallmark of the Growth Management Act in this state, at least, is the cumulative effect of all these different decisions. Do you feel comfortable? The way that you're approaching it is, are you able to say, because we're amending the plan, singular action, with a bunch of different things that are going on. So with that, I'll go back to that question slide and basically turn it back to you all.
Thank you. So I thought it'd be good if we go through each question in turn and just spend a few minutes on each one. So as I remember, the first one is, what do we want the comprehensive plan process to be?
Well, bearing in mind that I did say I have to leave at 7:50 and I don't want to more than usual monopolize the air here, I've said, obviously, for the entire time that I've been on the commission, that the process that we have is needlessly cumbersome, repetitive, confusing to the public, confusing to the commission, and unlike the process literally anywhere else in the state. And so when it says, what do you want the plan to do and be, I think it's foundational to get to the what you want it to do and be is to, like, fix the process of how you would get it to do and be. And so the fact that we do a threshold review for geographic scope, a non-substantive, if you will, threshold review, and sort of a recommendation to the council of whether the council should recommend to us that we do a substantive review or review on the merits or whatever, and then we do and then it goes back to the council. It's exhausting for the stakeholders. It's exhausting for the commission. It is confusing at most of the steps about what the actual questions are that are to be answered by the public, by the applicant, the types of questions that are sort of appropriate at different stages for the commission itself to be asking, whether those are questions from staff or questions of the applicant. And it has been in our work plan on and off the entire time that I've been on the Planning Commission about looking at actually changing that process. Probably was even in the work plan when Mayor Chelmanek was on the Planning Commission, I don't know. But I think we have a broken process. And I think that the process that we have right now, and this is, I will say, we have done wonderful things on this commission and commissions going back since the Planning Commission was founded. But I feel a lot of times the outcome, whether it's downtown livability, whatever this process is, whatever these amendments are, or the amendments that people bring to us or that the council gives to us, whatever positive that we can take out of that outcome is in spite of the process that we go through to get there. And so I would love if our council would direct us and direct staff this year to really look at that process and look at how that process can be improved. And that improving that process is going to also entail or require, I think, getting at some of the substantive questions that are asked. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I would augment what Commissioner Lang is saying by simply saying that we have an extra step that doesn't need to be there that we could remove. And we would be much more productive for it. Having said that, this job got a whole lot easier for me once I realized that our job was to fulfill the will and intent of the council. It's very tempting you know, when you're looking at something to say, well, here's what I think we should do. But again, when we start by acknowledging, well, what we're here to do is carry out the policy guidelines of the council, then again, we have a much more focused agenda as a result.
Okay. Anyone else? So it sounds like this is probably going to oversimplify, but your definitions or explanations are already captured here. But it sounds like you want it to be clear, simple, streamlined. I added transparent. I don't know if that's part of it, but I feel like as part of the comprehensive plan amendment process, we want it to be transparent with the community about what the changes are that are coming. So, anyone else on that question?
I agree with everything else that the other commissioners said, but in your summary, I think we should be more specific, mm-hmm. not just clear as a tool to implement the comprehensive plan, because I think that needs to be a constant reminder for us, because to Commissioner Carlson's point, it's so easy to say, oh, I think we should do this, but if we revert back to the comp plan, to the guidelines, to the from the council, I think having that being a part of the process as a reminder would be useful.
Can I add a few words in?
Do you mind if I go to? Okay.
Oh, what I wanted to say is just so that everyone understands the origins of this is that this is something that Commissioner Barksdale had brought up several months ago, and when we were meeting with the former city council liaison, we talked about that, and the former city council liaison had indicated that this was something that he thought would be worth considering, by the Planning Commission worth considering. At that point, we had explained that we would not be able to do any amendments in 2019 or 18 that would affect any work in 2018. So what has evolved, and you see it in your agenda memo, is this idea of what I've been calling dynamically auditing the process while we're in process. So staff does not have the bandwidth, my understanding is does not have the bandwidth to be entertaining that kind of a code amendment this year. But as we go through it, your observations will help inform what, if any, types of changes that should be considered.
That's the issue around the metrics for success that we're asking about.
Right, and I'm coming back to you, Commissioner Lane. I don't know that all these are changes grounded in policy changes. Some of these are, I think, will transfer or translate into actions that we can take in the moment without making any policy changes. But we'll see after we finish.
Thank you, Chair Barksdale, and also Mr. Cullen. So one of the things that has bothered me, and this goes to the when is it a policy or when is it a project, I actually think that it's pretty dangerous to even say when is it a project, because the bottom line is it's actually never a project when it's in front of us. We are touching the comp plan. Now, we have a funny system also in Bellevue that is relatively unique to Bellevue, which is that there is a virtual identity between our comprehensive plan designations and our zoning designations. And so, essentially, you know, this is an oversimplification, but not too much. We will have, for example, like low-density residential as the comprehensive plan designation, and there will only be like one or two potential zoning designations under that. But we might have a comprehensive plan designation that's like office limited business, and the zoning is also office limited business. Because under state law, your zoning has to be consistent with your comp plan, it's virtually impossible in Bellevue to rezone a property without also amending the comp plan. But when you're going in for a project, you really are, that is like really more at the zoning and sub-zoning level. And so what ends up happening invariably, especially on the more controversial stuff, is people come in to us And what they need to do is they need to get the comp plan changed. And that's a once-a-year cycle thing, you know, by state law. Whereas zoning can be changed literally as about as quickly as they could do the noticing and the rest of it, you know, under as a different type of a permit. And it doesn't come in front of us. So what happens is people come in and we have geographic scope as the question. And the public is going, stop the project. And we're going, the question in front of us is, do we expand the geographic scope? And then it comes back and they say, okay, now we have threshold review. And the public's in here going, stop the project, or you can't look at this because you don't know what the project is, saying, this isn't a project. We understand, like none of us around this table are confused, that ultimately the people that are pushing these comprehensive plan amendments are ultimately wanting to do a project, but the project's not in front of us. Like as a matter of fact and as a matter of law, that project is not before us. So you could think about what happened with the Newport Hills comprehensive plan amendment, where the entire focus of the discussion, the public discussion, and a lot of the discussion around this table was focused on what the developer planned to build, which is not one of the criteria at all. And so there is this huge disconnect between what we are doing here and what the public understands is before us. And so it is concerning to me to even like frame this issue of our policy issue here of when is it a policy versus a project, because it is never a project. And so like what should happen at the comprehensive plan level when you start discussing it, you shouldn't be talking about a project. You could say, well, if we go from low density residential to medium density multifamily, yes, the staff should be able to provide us information about, like, that could theoretically yield this delta of increased density, and that could be this delta of increased traffic, or it could allow for a building to be this tall, like some massing, very general things, but not the project. And unfortunately, we end up spending not just a lot of times because of the sort of two-stepping process that we go through, where you literally have threshold review, geographic scoping, threshold review, council threshold review, if you will, planning commission substantive review, and then recommendation to council. Is like a five-step process. In all of that, there's no project in there, but what ends up happening is we already have this long process, and it gets even longer than my little soliloquy here because the whole process gets focused on a theoretical project that the applicant, frankly, by the way, was never even asked to, by law and by code, to prepare for the process. So anyway.
So if I may, I appreciate the distinction there. The reason we brought Eastgate Office Park up is it's exactly the kind of thing that you deal with successfully in terms of it not being a project, but it being consideration about some project down the road. So rather than looking at these as straight as projects, you're looking at them as what's the appropriate consideration for this. And again, Eastgate Office Park, no project, no contemplation, but anticipating changes that needed to be reacted to. I also point out that at least five other cities in the state use a two-step conference plan amendment process. So.
Okay. Commissioner Morrison.
My apologies.
Sorry.
I'm just thinking if you've answered my question, being that staff brought this question to our attention, when is it a policy or when is it a project, what is staff's definition of a project in this context when you were putting this
so
in place?
We just put this to sort of prime the pump in terms of how you saw this, and Commissioner Lang's comments are absolutely appropriate in the context of a question tonight, fleshing out when it's a policy and when is it a project. It has bearing on the comprehensive plan amendment process, only in part because the comprehensive plan amendment process doesn't exist in isolation. It usually exists as the first step leading to something. And so the issue for you all as a pump priming question is, okay, when is it a policy and when is it a project? So Commissioner Lang is correct in distinguishing the two exercises, and we're fully cognizant of the fact that people don't do that in their minds. They don't distinguish between a project and a policy.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, the conversation about 20 years out has to start with that policy framework.
So I wonder, I mean, given the point that, the answer to this is that everything's a policy and not a project, how do we help communicate that or make that more evident to the public when these happen?
Okay.
That would be the question. Okay. Commissioner Lee.
So I'll speak to one of the more interesting or vague criteria, of course, and this gets into substantive review, but the changed circumstances. So this whole concept of changed circumstances actually arose in the common law of rezoning, which again is a different thing than comprehensive plan. And so under the common law in Washington and in many states, in order to have a rezone of a property approved, one of the things that you can do to get a rezone approved is to show changed circumstances. So there is case law that sort of talks about what it doesn't talk about what isn't changed circumstances, but it does talk about what is changed circumstances. And I don't know if it would be helpful for the commission to have sort of a set of examples of things that at least have been recognized in Washington as examples of changed circumstances. I don't know that that's helpful, but what I know, at least for the public and for us, that has been unhelpful is that changed circumstances has often been sort of like more like, well, if I think that the project that might come out of this is meritorious or a good public benefit, which is actually a separate standalone criteria, then, yeah, it looks like things have changed. I mean, and so I think it would be helpful, at least for me, and sitting here, like, I have my own ideas, obviously, because of what I do professionally, but I think it might be helpful for the commission to see at least what our courts have said are examples of changed circumstances, if other people think so. Like, I'm not looking to create work for Terry or staff or the legal department or anything, but it's just, like, we shouldn't have standardless standards.
We do have in our comprehensive plan procedures guide, we have almost an entire page on what is a significantly changed condition, using specific examples from past actions taking place in Bellevue, what is and what isn't. Essentially, that significantly changed conditions recognized through yours and the council's legislative acts. But certainly, it's easy enough for us to research it on a statewide level and bring that information back.
Commissioner Morso, and then.
Thank you for bringing the fact that we already have that definition. However, it's not clear at all. When you start reading it, you actually get lost. The sentences are so long and so convoluted, it's very difficult to make sense of what the actual criteria is. Yes, the examples are helpful, but I think as a body, coming up with a set of criteria based on either what the law says or what those examples have used, I think would be more useful to us as a commission. That way we have a set of criteria that we all follow, and if those apply, then we know and the public knows it's a change condition.
Okay. This has been very helpful, even this short amount of conversation, and I'm looking forward to it as we go throughout the year and have this and dig into some of those more detail. It occurs to me that what might be of use to all of us is that as we begin a plan amendment, that maybe we have a conversation about the range of policy issues that are coming out of the comprehensive plan, and then begin to understand how that might work with respect to the plan amendment itself. Because a lot of times, plan policies may be competing. They may appear to be contradicting each other. How do you do this and do this? So, and then the discussion as you get into the plan amendment that helps is looking at how do you balance the application of the policies in the plan to the case in question here. And that's the kind of conversation that really adds the value, the Enterprise Guardian value, to the comprehensive plan, because you've given it further meaning in terms of your interpretation of it and its use as you, and that is a very valuable role that this board serves. So,
Commissioner Marceau, could I just pursue the point that you made a little more, just so we understand? So it's a confusing definition, but and the ideal outcome is to reframe the criteria in a different way. But is there a middle ground? Is there some way to go from its dense legalese to what you're looking for? Is there some middle ground that we can do in terms of providing more information or breaking apart the criterion itself? Because it's a three-parter, and I appreciate it. I got to read it every time myself and go, what are we saying? Is there some way we can move a little in that direction?
I wonder if having bullet point items of the different steps would help.
Okay.
Because here I'm reading it, significantly changed condition. Demonstrating evidence of change such as unanticipated consequences of an adopted policy, that's one, or change condition on the subject property or its surrounding area, that's two, or change related to the pertinent, I mean, once you start reading it, you get lost. Whereas if you have bullet point and it's really succinct and clear and concise, it may be easier for us.
So as a means to organize it, basically, before we have that conversation. Okay.
So there's an observation here. I mean, I think to some extent when we say that it's at the policy level versus the project level, but as you were reading through it and it specifically says policy on the subject property, I mean, that sort of makes you begin to think that it's at the project or property/project level. So I don't know if there's how much we can change maybe the language even in like the criteria or other places so that it is even the language within the policy stays at the policy level.
I think for this year, as Terry's pointed
out. No, not this year, but.
But I mean, yeah. We can make some lemonade out of the lemons and yeah. Break it apart and try to get it much more coherent on a step-by-step basis rather than trying to keep it all in one big...
Yeah, this is for longer term.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a project is a direct application of policy. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's, gee, is this project or is this policy? Project is the applying of the policy.
Yeah. May I? Nicholas?
Yes.
Like, for example, one of the criteria said... changes related to the pertinent plan, map, or text, where such change has implications of a magnitude that need to be addressed for the comprehensive plan to function as an integrated whole. What does that mean?
Well, what that means, and again, why we did
it. The fabric of the city is coming apart.
What that means is Eastgate Office Park. So changes that happened were the Eastgate Land Use and Transportation Project, which reframed the environment going forward 20 years for that whole area. The owners of the property, the subject property that was Eastgate Office Park, felt that they weren't positioned to take advantage of something that had happened through the plan amendment process. And so they wanted their turn to be able to say, we need to talk about this. But in order to do that, the change had to be of a magnitude that the entire plan could talk about it, because office zoning doesn't work for a lot of people anymore, but the new OLB does.
But to me, implication of a magnitude, it's up for interpretation.
Absolutely.
Is the point that I'm trying to make.
Absolutely. I agree with you totally, Commissioner.
So we're almost at time, and we want to leave enough time for public comment in case there's any comments to what we've talked about.
Appreciate the conversation tonight. We'll take some stuff back, and hopefully you'll tell us whether or not you're seeing it as we embark on the CPA a review process this year.
And this is how I envision that this dynamic auditing of the plan amendment process will occur, is that we will do check-ins throughout the process and prompt you, and we'll also be hearing your observations firsthand in real time about, well, that didn't work very well, or I really like that approach because it helped with this. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be paying attention to that in a way that we haven't before.
I was just going to encourage for us to take those questions that were presented earlier and think about them, maybe even send the responses to Terry and Nicholas between now and the next meeting. But if there's nothing else, we'll move on to public comment.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone? Yeah, okay. Emily Johnston.
They're coming up. Chair Barksdale, if there's an opportunity, there's one other item I need to ask the Planning Commission about, and that's the walking tour.
Okay. I'll do it right after this.
Okay.
You have a,
hold on. I think that mic is.
That's not working.
Well, it's been turned off. So.
Oh, that was
the one. Hey, Terry.
That'll keep you from talking, right?
Yeah.
All right. I think
you have the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Pamela Johnson, 3741 122nd Avenue. Okay, so I'll let him get the timer done, but it'll be short. And that's just that if you're going to try to make changes as you're going along, I hope those changes means that you're making the changes, you're making kind of like the criticism now, but you'll make the changes next year because it can't change within the time frame because it's already confusing enough. And we already have to learn the way it is now, and learning the way it's going to be at the same time might be difficult. And also, if Terry, as you come through those examples, maybe if you could make that like a separate booklet that says, here's examples, so that when we come to this next year, people don't have to look through all the minutes to find all those good examples of things. But you kind of have like good examples for this. Kind of as like another like just example thing for it. Okay, that's all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, date for the walking tour?
Yes. All right. Here's what I got from our attorney. He said that if we're out there doing the walking tour, we are in essence conducting business that is related to this plan amendment. So we can't do it unless we have a quorum. If I were to take out a couple of you one day and a couple the next day, I've created a serial meeting. So it's going to either be a kind of an all or nothing. I need a quorum, or I don't do it at all. So if I do a quorum, I need everybody to check their calendar because the polling part isn't working. But it would definitely be worthwhile to do it, and we would notice it to the public and invite them to attend with us. So could I ask the commissioners present to look at their calendar, and maybe we can find a mutual date and time that would work for all of us?
Can we front load a meeting?
I'm sorry?
Can we front load an existing meeting?
I believe that was one option on the
table. Yes. Options that were presented were to do something before an existing meeting and then come back here and have something to eat and then go into your regular meeting. Another option was to do it on like a Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, I guess I mean take the current starting time, not start earlier, because I think the last time we talked about it, we talked about starting before the normal.
Well, the challenge is it's dark.
Yeah.
And you see more, there's a lot that you will miss.
Yeah. Do we have a time constraint here, or could we wait for a month?
I would want to have it before. You're going to be coming out the gate in February. By the end of February, you're going to be in full discussion about the policies that are being proposed for the plan amendment. And in March, you're going to see the first draft of the code. So it's going to be moving at a rapid pace.
Okay. That answers that question.
Yeah. All right. Let's start out with weekends versus week. Is anybody unavailable on a Saturday? You are.
Yeah,
a Sunday.
Saturday morning, I can't. It's Saturday afternoon, yeah.
A Sunday?
I mean, between my kids, like, soccer games and stuff, like, Saturdays and Sundays, I can be anywhere around the Puget Sound or anywhere around the state between now and May.
Okay.
So I just...
How about early mornings in the during the week, like 8 o'clock?
Well,
Just kidding. No.
You could tell you don't have kids. I'm sorry, Jeremy.
Well, you know, drop off's at 8. So if you want to say like 8:50, let's make it 8:30 if I get some coffee.
I can tell the radio station you're not listening.
Okay. How about Fridays?
Now you have an hour.
We're all happy, you know, together. Right?
One day only.
I'm just trying to go.
Friday.
You can do Fridays?
Yeah.
How about Fridays? Afternoons?
That's possible.
Okay.
Kind of a lunchtime?
Could we do lunchtime on a Friday?
I could.
I can do lunchtime.
Which Friday are you thinking?
Let's see.
Not the 26th.
Not the 26th. February 2nd.
Groundhog Day.
Perfect. We can see if we see any.
Can't.
No?
That's
one. I'm good the 2nd or the 9th.
Okay.
The 9th is possible, but the 2nd, I'm in a, I've got an appointment at that time.
Same here. I can do the 9th.
I am gone. My flight's at 1, but I could do a little earlier, but I can't do noon if anybody's available. 10-ish.
I'm typically able to make myself, it's actually easier for me sort of between, let's say, 8:30 and 10:30 to do stuff because I drop my kids off at school at 8,
yeah.
And then if I don't have to get in traffic and suck another 45 minutes out of my life going to Seattle, I'm happy to not do that for a while.
Okay. 10? Is it 10 work for you, Aaron? Or is that pushing it?
9:30
It takes me out. Yeah.
Takes you out. Yeah. 10 takes you out.
What's the earliest you can make, Commissioner Carlson?
Probably 10:30.
That's fine.
I could do that.
So Friday, February 9th?
At 10:30 a.m.
Okay. Great. So we'll have at least 4, and I will notify Commissioners Davidos and Malakuchin.
Okay. And Mayor Chilnick, will you be able to make that too? Or?
It is. I'm not even sure where you're walking, so I think I will let you walk.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you,
right. Notice he didn't say, well, if you tell me where you're walking.
Mayor Chilnick, it's for the East Main Station area, so we're going to walk around the site as we get into the policy discussion.
I am highly familiar with East
Main. Very good. But I will notify the other commissioners, and of course, we'll notice this as a special meeting.
Okay.
10:30 till about 11:30.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you for indulging me on that.
Thanks, everybody.
Yep.
I'll entertain a motion to adjourn if there.
So moved.
Second.
All right. Meeting adjourned.
Jeremy, is that going to be about, 90 minutes?
Oh, an hour?
I think about 60 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. Good.
Thank you.
All right.
60 minutes, Mr. We're a half hour to cross.
I successfully emailed you during the meeting, which made me feel like I've got all my techie skills going.
Oh.
But for some reason, my eye legislation.